Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Oh my God, what a move of the Spirit. This type of services are so refreshing. You can just share the grace and go, amen. Glory to God. I'll show you three things very quickly in 10, 15 minutes. And then we're going to close. I was explaining this to them yesterday during a school of ministry. Those of you who have a sense of God's calling to ministry, always ensure you're around on Tuesdays by 6 o'clock. That's when we go deeper and say some things and teach on some things we can't teach in the regular service. All right, in Psalms 114, verses 1 to 3, or verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, Israel his dominion, the sea saw it and fled, Jordan was driven back, the mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Very quickly, I want to show us three major reasons why God asked the children of Israel to leave Egypt. Having spent 430 years in a place, you will think that is their permanent abode. But God says, no, I'm going to bring you out. And in the scripture, there are three reasons why he brought them out. And those three reasons are what we should pay attention to in our life today, because that is still the same reason for which we are saved. That is still the three major reasons for which we are saved. The very three reasons why God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt is the major three reasons why we have been saved. And it's important for us to pay attention to them. Number one can be found in Exodus chapter 5. And verse 1, the Bible declares in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In other words, the number one reason why God wanted the children of Israel to leave Egypt is that they may hold a feast unto him in the wilderness. And one of the major reasons for which you are saved today is that God wants you to come unto him and continually hold a feast in your heart unto him. At every day of your life, the Bible says, God is looking for those that will worship him and will worship him in spirit and in truth. People that will joyfully respond to God every time. That there may not be enough money in your pocket, but the feast cannot be affected in your heart. He said, I'm bringing them out that they may hold a feast to me. The feast is not unto you, it's unto God. And this reflects in our attitudes, our responsiveness to God, our attitude to the things of God, the way we respond to the things that has to do with God. Are you doing them with a feast in your heart, or you are doing them with a grief in your heart? They are two different things. When you mop the floor, and you are mopping the floor with murmuring and complaint and dissatisfaction, such labor has no wage from God, because there is something about joy when it comes to God. He said, the Lord ascended with a shout. He says the Lord came down with a shout. God doesn't like that silent, sad, depressive atmosphere around you. He wants a feast, a joyful heart, a worshiping heart. This doesn't mean you are going to be loud. No. It's something that holds in your heart. It's something that goes on in your heart. You do it as unto the Lord in a feast. You don't do it with sad countenance. You don't do it with, am I the only one that will be doing all these things all these years? No. Whatever you find yourself to do, let there be a feast in your heart. That they may hold a feast. And God was ready to kill all the Egyptians because he wanted his people to hold a feast. That's how important it was to God. If you will not let these people go, I will kill your firstborn. And that's what he did. All the firstborn of Egypt died. The Bible said there was mourning in the land of Egypt, that before that time there have never been such cries. And after that, never has been such. Now in every household, the firstborn died. Why? Because I said my people should hold the feast and you are trying to block them. So you don't disturb somebody who is joyful. And somebody is joyful, is screaming hallelujah and say, won't hear. Don't interrupt. Just be on your own. Are you following me here? That they may hold what? A feast. When you wake up in the morning, wake up with a feast in your heart. Don't wake up with a ease. Wake up with a feast. Joyful heart. Your waking moment. Father, I thank you. It's another day. I give you all the glory. Blessed be your holy name. That is how you guarantee the victory of that day. Is somebody with me here? A feast. That they may hold a feast. Time will not permit me to go in further and explain. Maybe I will dwell more on this on Sunday. Glory to God. And the second reason why God brought them out can be found in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1. Exodus 8 verse 1. The one we read about feast is Exodus 5 1. So just add three chapters to it. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1. And then it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus chapter 5. Sorry, chapter 8 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may what? Serve. Serve. In other words, the second reason. And all these things are intertwined. Because when you are serving, you serve with a feast. And when you are feasting, you make sure you are serving. Is somebody here with me? That they may serve me. There is something about serving God. He said, if those people serve me, I will bless their bread, I will bless their water, and I will take sickness away from their midst. See, people who serve God with all their life, they don't fall sick. Me, I don't fall sick. I don't like one fever, headache. How will they come? When on Tuesday there's school of ministry, on Wednesday there's midweek service, on Friday there is one thing or the other, on Monday there is prayer for businessmen. Where is it time for sickness? If you busy yourself serving God, if you throw yourself into the service of God, your health is guaranteed. The devil wants to kill you like this. God will say, no, you can't kill this one. This one is working actively for me. You can't. You can't. And when you are serving God, look, listen to me, it's a covenant. You can lay hands on your children and say, no, my children can't be sick. No. Because I am serving God. Is somebody here with me? That he may serve. And so you serve with a feast in your heart. You serve with joyfulness and gladfulness of heart. When you look at the scripture, joy is very important to God. How you do it? What you do is not so much as important as to how. Study your scripture. It's not about what you do. It's about how. And the attitude through which you are doing it. Don't murmur against God. Don't murmur against your pastor. Don't murmur against your HODs. No. Simply obey. That they may serve me.
that they may serve me. God, you can't serve God and God will not be particular about it. Everyone will take note of you. They will be obligated to protect you because you are, they can see you. Are you following me here? Number three, because of time. Exodus chapter 8, verse 8. All those scriptures are very easy to remember. You shouldn't forget them. Exodus 5, 1. Add three chapters. Exodus 8, 1. Then go to verse 8. Exodus 8, 8. Very simple. Can we say the first one? Exodus 5, 1. The second one? 8, 1. The third one? 8, 8. The Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, No. Yeah. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs. You know, this is immoral. Pharaoh said, they will not go. God said, you won't go. I will send you frog now. Imagine seeing one frog in your bedroom, just one. You wake up in the night and then you see frog. The first thing is you jump up. Now imagine frogs everywhere, like about 500 frogs in your bedroom, under the bed, in the wardrobe, inside your cup, plate, everywhere, bedroom, everywhere, frog, frog, frog. And then you come out in the passage, frog. And then you get to your sitting room, frog. They've covered your television, inside your pot, the chicken stew you just cooked yesterday, frog. Inside the fridge, you don't even know how they enter, frog. You open the fridge, frog. Everywhere, froggy. That he may take away. You see, when Pharaoh saw frog, see, this Pharaoh is a crazy guy. Because immediately Moses will entreat God, say, take it away. Then he will say, you are not going again. You are not going again. Say, that he may take away the frog from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do what? Sacrifice. That's the third thing, sacrifice. Your life as a believer is not complete until you embrace the covenant of sacrifice. Are you following me? Sacrifice is a covenant. Those points in life when pledges were raised and you are asked to make pledges, or God is speaking to you that give this certain amount, those are point of covenant to lift you from where you are to where you ought to be, if you respond. Your tithe is a covenant. It's a sacrifice. Who doesn't want to spend everything? Sacrifice. The first thing that they may what? The first thing that they may what? Holy feast. The second one that they may? The third one is that what? Sacrifice. It's a covenant. Next Sunday is our first fruit service. Make sure you give a first fruit unto God. What is first fruit? Is the first of the fruits that came into your hands. Now, the reason we do this around the beginning of the year is because first fruit is meant to be from the first set of income that comes into your hands. Now, first fruit is not 10% or 50% or anything. It's how God ministers to you. And you will know when you listen to God, God will give you that amount. Are you following me? So you find some people, they will give their first salary of the year as first fruit. You find some people, they will give half of their salaries. You find some people, they will give a certain percentage. Some people will give the first money that comes into their hands. So you have to find a place in God to understand what He wants you to do. And on Sunday, we are going to pray over first fruit. However it is, make sure you are a part of it. Let me tell you what a covenant is. A covenant is an agreement between two people. In a covenant, you say, everything that happens to me is also happening to you. If I'm in trouble, you have to come and save me. First fruit avails you the opportunity to get to a point where you have some major need in the year. And then you say, God, remember my first fruit. Remember my sacrifice. David got to a point, I think in Psalm 20 or so, he said, remember my offerings, O Lord. It's a covenant thing. If your seed is on the ground, the harvest must come. If it doesn't, if it's not coming as it should, you remind God. The Bible says in the book of Esther, a book of remembrance was opened. And the book of remembrance is in heaven. Are you following me? May God open the book of remembrance on your behalf in Jesus' name. That they may sacrifice. Let me show you one more scripture and then we close because my time is up. Can you give me the book of Psalms chapter 50 and in verse 5, Psalm 50 verse 5. This is what we want to do on Sunday, first fruit service. Gather my saints together unto me. Can we read together? One, two, go. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by what? So you can make a covenant with God by what? By sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? Something that is sacrificial. You honor God with your first fruit. Beginning of the year. It belongs to God. So you honor Him. It's an honorable thing. God is so particular about covenant that He told Abraham, sacrifice your son. If you can't sacrifice that boy, I cannot release my son to save man. That's why Abraham is referred to as father of faith. Because his singular act was a covenant between him and God. And so the moment he has released Isaac, God said, now I can't withhold Jesus from these people. Now that I asked for his son and he gave it to me, by covenant, I must give my son back to him. Are you following me? We got to close because of time. Maybe I will break it down more on Sunday. We must understand this concept. The devil is a liar. This year, you are going to rise. I want to dedicate plenty cars this year. Your cars. Your amen is so weak. When I'm behind this pulpit ministry, it's no longer me. It's more like God Himself is speaking. So when you receive those words, these things are supernatural. So don't use your this thing to process it. It's supernatural. Are you following me? When I started driving my first car, I had less than 2,005 in my account. I had less than 2,500, and yet I had a car. Are you following me? My second car, no dime. All of those things were done by covenant. You know, my wife and I, we are crazy givers. I told my wife, now that we have given our very life to God in ministry, what else can we not give? It's when you are not giving your life completely. No way, my matter say. When my own life has been given to God in service. And not in the Koyi of here, in the Jebubo. And God says, stay, and I stay. And I look at the environment, was like you are a dead meat here. How will you ever survive? But I had God stay, so I stay. Everything looked open, but I stay. And I told her, this is where I'm going to stay until an instruction comes. These things are covenants. So when I go to Ibadan, less than 6 months, somebody gave me a car. I'm wondering, hey, I'm Pastor Emmanuel. No. It's covenant. There's sacrifice. I gave my life to His service. I went to serve and I was offered a 10,000 naira job in those days in 1999. I was asked to come and teach for 10K per month. And before I left, my pastor that I was working with has already told me when I come back, I'll be earning 1,000 naira a month. I had to decide. Go back to Ijebubo and be earning 1,000. Chibi, I can say I want to serve. God, can I not serve you? So I told God, I said, God, I'm ready to go, but said there's no redeployment this year. The federal government said that year nobody will be. The DG of NYC, nobody, not a single person. So I told God, I said, I'm ready to go. Hoping that that will be an escape route for me. God told me, he said, when you wake up tomorrow morning, go and meet the NCCF president and discuss with him. So I went to him. I don't know him. If I went, we're in the camp 3 weeks, I did not participate in NCCF. I was doing my own solo prayer. Because I knew ministry, there's no point. Before they come and make me executive secretary, and they announced that I'm going. So I did not join them for once. So I was coming. I don't know them. You know, if I already know him, it would have been easy. I don't know him. So I went to him. I said, I've called them God. Jebugo is my base. They posted me here. They said there's no redeployment. I'm meant to serve in the Jebugo, not here. And I want to collect my certificate here. And God said, I should come to you. The guy was an Igbo guy. Yellow guy like this. He did like this. I thought he didn't hear me. Because he just went silent. But you know what he did? They made me the traveling secretary of NCCF for that year. And as a traveling secretary, I did it to attend CDS, all the. It's like whoever holds that position is exempted from everything they do. So I came back to my base, and every three months, I just go and visit and say, I collect all my allowances. And at the end of the day, I collect my salary. That was how I served. God ensured that he organized me out. Are you following me? But despite that, I still had a choice. I had to say, God, this is what you asked me to do. It looked like suicide. Everything looked to silence. Like this guy, but covenant, don't say covenant. God can, if you make a covenant by sacrifice, listen to me. I didn't say when you make covenant like this, following day like this, boom. No. There will be a time. Seed. Time. Harvest. That's how it works. And in the time of harvest, you will be tested to know whether you are going to break that covenant or abandon God to the covenant. Or whether you will continually make a feast. And God, I thank you. I know your word will never fail. Let's close this. Our time is gone. I will break it down on Sunday. Just come to God in 1 minute because we don't have much time.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Keke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.